It's time for the Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio, discussing everything about food and spirits in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies, brought to you by Gavora's Fine Wine and Spirits, Bobby's Downtown, Hoodoo Brewery, and Quality Food Sales. Now your host, David Proves.
Hello, Fairbanks, and welcome to Fairbanks Foodies. I am your host, David Proves. This is a locally produced and broadcast show here in Fairbanks, Alaska, the interior. On this show, we look at meals we can make, menus to create, beverages you can try, restaurants to visit, and events to participate in. We look at food and beverages any way available. We make it fun, enjoyable, and tasty for your listening pleasure. First off, want to thank our wonderful sponsors, the Hoodoo Brewery, Bobby's Downtown, Gavora's Fine Wine and Liquors, and Quality Sales there on Phillips Field Road. We're in January. It's a brand new year, 2022. I've had some great ideas for you in the last few months, but the month of January is Italian cuisine. My mother is Italian. Every Wednesday and Sunday, she cooked us our pasta meal. I grew up with the red sauce, and I make this to her day. I give it out as part of an extravagant Christmas basket. So the month of January, we have dedicated this month to Italian cuisine. This is our final airing of January. If you look up on the audio archives at KFARradio.com, you can see the past wonderful foods we've given you this month. Go to the RDO archives and enjoy it. In January, I've done Parmesan chicken, risotto, chicken Alfredo, and today's wonderful dish. An easy Italian dish that I made up for these wonderful people. A little bit of chicken, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of salad, a little bit of vegetables, and of course, I stuffed the chicken. Okay. I have in the studio with me Nadine, Chuck, Glitter, and of course, the wonderful Melissa. Yes. Are you all ready to try this?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, here
Me
we
too.
Go. So, what you have in front of you is you have what I call the Italian version of chicken and French fries. Ooh. But the chicken, I stuffed. I did a medley of garlic, shallot, some orange bell pepper, sauteed in butter. I made a slit inside the cavity of the chicken breast, because this is a chicken breast dish. Then I stuffed it with mozzarella cheese, excuse me, and my stuffing that I just described to you.
Mm.
Oh boy. Put on each side of it your salt, your pepper. And I love oregano. You know, a lot of people use basil, but I just love oregano. A great Mediterranean dish. And they make a great little bit of a spicier oregano in Mexico. I love them both, depending on what I'm cooking and how I'm cooking it. And then I put a little bit of butter on the bottom, a little bit of butter on the top in a 9x13 baking pan. And I put it in there for 40 minutes at 400 degrees. Now the potatoes, that's always fun. You know, how often do you see big russet potatoes and you're thinking, oh my God, a baked potato?
Yep.
We're Italian today. What we did was we said, okay, I'm not even going to peel these. I'm going to be the lazy David Italian. And you don't have to. You take a big russet potato, cut it in half, cut it in quarters, and cut it in eighths. And then what I did is I took a mixture of one, say, a quarter cup olive oil, 2 tablespoons of diced garlic, a teaspoon of granulate of onion powder, salt, pepper, paprika, mix it all together. Then I soaked the potatoes in it and I put it on a baking sheet.
Mm.
Before I put it in, I put the potatoes down, skin side down, and then I pulled out my Asiago with olive oil and rosemary finish, and I grated it over it. Then I put it in there, and I put it in with the chicken all at the same time, and again, 40 minutes. And I pulled it out at the 20-minute mark. Turned over the potatoes, put the skin side as much up as I could, and I put more cheese on it. Put it back in, and then when I pulled out the chicken, I put some more Asiago cheese on top of that.
Wow.
So I have mozzarella in the center, and Asiago on top. This just, not a bunch of mozzarella in there. I wanted to flavor it, not dominate. And that's a good thing about a dish. If you have multiple items there that complement and not dominate. Then, of course, I had to put that on a bed of sautéed, I wouldn't call it veggies, more like roots. You know, onion and the yellow
bell pepper.
Zucchini with a little bit of bell pepper in there. Mm-hmm. And sautéed that up in butter. Just added a little bit of oregano to it, sautéed it up. And that was, I served the chicken on that bed. So it does absorb the juices as it comes out. And really adds when you take a bite of both to it, both the texture and the taste. I wanted that texture change of just chicken. Mm-hmm. A little bit of vegetable in there, or roots if you want to call it. Then the salad, easiest thing to do. You know, the salad is the dressing. I grew up with my mom with a red wine and vinegar salad dressing all my life, 5 days a week. That's what we had, with garlic salt, and basically that was it. And I still love that to this day, but I came across a recipe for a lemon vinaigrette that has, again, if you're using 1 cup of fluid, 2/3 of it was olive oil, 1/3 red wine, table wine vinegar, and then you put in another teaspoon of oregano, squeeze in fresh lime, salt and pepper, maybe a tablespoon of your Dijon mustard, mix it all together, and it takes you a minute to make up, maybe two, to make up this salad. And then, as you saw, I used the hearts of romaine uncut, and then
simple
added a few
and delicious
things to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
simple and delicious.
Yeah.
Everything flows beautifully.
Everything
on this
does.
Plate.
The flavors mesh. It's the chicken is so tender. Oh. It's everything. The flavors all combine, and it's fantastic.
And the Grigio just adds to it.
Yeah,
man. Nice call.
You know, at our table, growing up, every meal I poured my mom a glass of table wine, just, you know, from the big gallon jug table wine, and you know she never gave it to us. My dad, he did not drink, but she always had her glass of wine, a glass of wine with the meal, and that opened up her palate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it does. And
it opens up the flavors.
The yeah. So just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so it's been fun to introduce Fairbanks to some of the easily made table fare. You know, once you start cooking and you enjoy it, you don't have to look at a recipe. You're sort of like going down the food aisle.
Yeah.
And then you're saying, what am I going to do with this? And
well,
that's what I've been doing.
What
it's
I
been
like
so
about
fun.
This is it's this is something that I consider doable for my house. Like I'm not the greatest cook.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes I have an issue with timing and an issue with making sure I can get the dinner on the table and get off to hockey, right? Well,
yeah.
This is like a perfect. You throw the chicken in, you throw the potatoes in, you mix up the salad, bam, bam, done. Here you go on the table, and the flavors, it's like a 5-star meal that took you 45 minutes.
That's right. That's a, you know,
and
10 minutes of prep.
Yeah.
40 minutes of cooking.
And that
5 minutes of plating.
That is priceless for a family who is on the go and busy. This is a fantastic meal for that.
This meal, I would say, cost per plate $6.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably
for sure.
So.
Probably
yeah.
about
Well
Maybe
done
seven
on
the
on the breast. Chicken breast is always so delicate.
Yeah.
There's such a thin line between getting it just right and drying it out.
Yeah.
It's a very thin line.
And it's just right.
And looking at how it cuts and how it looks, you know, halfway through, that's exactly how I wanted it. That's exactly how I wanted it.
It's
and
perfect.
I like the fact that, as you said, the stuffing is subtle. It's not this massive explosion of stuff blasting out of the middle of the chicken. It's just enough to give it the right flavor. Sometimes, particularly if you buy any kind of store-bought, I don't know, whether it's a chicken cordon, anything, if you get any, sometimes they just overload the middle with too much of in the chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have that.
And
no.
Having just the right amount in there is perfect.
Yeah, you know, and that just comes from practice and what you want to do. And again, like you said, you know, you look at some of the stores and it's just, it's like you're having a second meal. All your taste buds go to that stuffing. And you're missing the protein, you're missing the chicken, or you're missing the meat, or whatever it's stuffed, you know, whatever you're stuffing. And this is just, it's a, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I started looking in my refrigerator. What do I have? And the biggest decision was what type of cheese I was going to put on this. You know, I got two different types of Parmesan cheese. I have this cheese. You know, oh,
turns
my God.
Turns into an episode of Chop.
You know, it was, I had, that was my biggest consideration was how to do that, which cheeses I was going to use. And so, hey, it was an easy one. It was mozzarella. I used the remainder of my mozzarella. And then while I'm stuffing it, I said, hold it. I have some blue cheese in my refrigerator. So I pulled that out and I had a couple pieces of that just myself. Yeah. Just to say, okay, I'm going to be a little bit Northern Italian French and gorgonzola here. But I'm using mozzarella and the Asiago cheese. And I love the cheeses that you can get. And the fun part about it is at the Fred Meyer store, at the east or the west, they have such a wonderful purveyors there who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they are really good, you know, and I call it my enablers. They know me by my first name, you know, oh my God, you know. And they, if you're looking at something, they will give you a taste of it. I mean, really? They will give you a taste of what you want, of what it is. And so in honor of them, February will be cheese month. You know, I'm going to be doing things with cheese.
Yay!
Food with cheese. And it's
as the program director, I highly endorse this.
As
a frequent contributor, I endorse this.
Yeah. As the programmer or whatever here, I like pleasing upper management and frequent flyers.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty easy to do on my. Yeah. I mean, done. Yeah, you had me a chicken, so I'm good.
Yeah.
And wine and everything else. Always fun.
Fairbanks, we're going to take some time to hear from our sponsors. This is Fairbanks Foodies, and again, you can go to KFARradio.com to our audio archives, and we have wonderful shows there. We have The Buzz, we have Tracks Outdoor, we have Real Estate with the Kirk and Lisa Maynard, we have the Dr. Looper Show, we have Fairbanks Foodies, we have a great history. If you want to look at some of our wonderful past recordings, enjoy it. Go there, and there's such great talent. We'll be back after these messages.
It's great to be able to enjoy our favorite local restaurants once again. And you can thank the folks at Quality Sales Food Service. Even during the toughest of times, they were making sure local eateries had the food and supplies needed to keep their businesses open. Quality Sales Food Service, Interior Alaska's number one food supplier, teaming up with Gold Bond Marketing, have allowed them to buy in volume and keep prices low, which helps keep your dinner costs low as well. That's Quality Sales Food Service, the food suppliers for your favorite restaurants. Online at qualitysales.net.
Make your next dinner or gathering with friends and family be the one they'll remember with help from Gavoris Fine Wine. Gavoris' selection of wines is one of the largest in the interior. You'll find the perfect pairing to complement any meal or to enjoy for any occasion. Gavoris has an outstanding selection of spirits and beers as well, including fresh Alaskan beers to fill your growlers. You'll find the home beer brewing supplies you need. Gavoris Fine Wine. Open noon to 8 every day in the Gavora Mall.
Things are coming back around, and it's time to celebrate. So do it with friends at Bobby's Downtown, with an amazing selection of Greek and Mediterranean cuisine, along with loads of your American favorites, plus one of the finest bars in all of Fairbanks, Bobby's Downtown, where everyone is family. Don't forget their amazing lunches during the work week, and check out their fantastic daily specials and amazing drinks. It's all at Bobby's Downtown, one of the best things about downtown Fairbanks. On 2nd Avenue, that's Bobby's Downtown. Hoodoo Brewery. Sure, you grab a cold one after work with your friends and coworkers in the amazing beer garden. Or maybe fill up the growler on the way home. Hoodoo Brewery. Some of the finest beer in all of Alaska, right here in Fairbanks, right in the heart of downtown. Now you can order your beer online at hoodoobrew.com or sign up for a tour of the brewery. Score some cool Hoodoo swag and support your local beer meisters. That's Hoodoo Brewery, a strong supporter of Fairbanks and local events, large and small. Hoodoo is always there with a cold one just for you. Hoodoo Brewery.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Nadine Winters, Chuck Lemke, Glenn Anderson, the wonderful Melissa. She's had to run off to different things, but we're enjoying food, talking food. I've got great people in here who know their stuff when it comes to food. Now, Chuck, what do you? Let's give some disposition here on this.
Well, this is one of the things that what you have prepared, what you have taken us back to your La Familia, is it's things that can go to the table. You can prepare them like this is a one dish type of thing. It goes in there, all comes out at the same time, and that's a part of the planning in that. And like your mother was smart enough too, that everybody sat down and ate at the same time. And that's a big part of this. It's so often you can get so wrapped up in the kitchen that whoever's doing it is busy there and everybody else is enjoying it.
Yes.
And or they have to race and now to get caught up or other people wait. And this is one of the art and science of dining. If you want to take on fuel, fine, go through a drive-thru or whatever, get whatever you want. But if you want to dine, if you want to be with the family and do things like that, it's a matter of timing and scheduling and communication. And then it's, you know, you start with the smell, then with the visual, then with the taste, and everybody works together like that. And so you don't miss out. And that's one thing that you do here is you're trying to bring all these things together and not one thing overpowers everything else. Same way with people, that you want to have something that it blends and everybody comes together. So when you have a dinner party, it's a matter of everybody contributing to the evening, to the event, to the communication. And once again, and the focus is the food. And you've done things where you can do that easily enough. It's not so crazy that it's only there for special holiday things. So like Thanksgiving, you know, you get up, somebody's up at 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning and starting so that by 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, everybody can sit down and eat. Well, this is one of those things you can put it together. You could put it together the night before, put it in the oven when you got home, and everybody can be ready to dine at the same time. And it's family fare. That's,
you know, it's interesting how you bring up family fare. Growing up, my best experiences, my best knowledge came from the dinner table, sharing dinner with the family. Mm-hmm. And it was 6 nights a week. And no matter what, dinner was served at 5:15. And you were not late.
No.
I mean, no matter what happened in life. Even my little sister, who was always late, she was never late at that moment because that was with my mom, you were not late.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had the same thing. It was always 6 o'clock at our house. And because dad would work for DOT and he'd be in a little bit later. But in high school, my friends even knew dinner time. And it would be like 6:05 and my dad would go, geez, where's RJ? He's not, he isn't here yet. Speaking of Bob Russell, that's who it was. His RJ was Bob Russell. He was my best buddy growing up. And he was always at the house. And for years, my dad said that, you know, that Bob and Gloria owed him a lot of meals at the cookie jar after him enjoying ours. But it was 6 o'clock prompt all the time.
You know, it's interesting how you talk about the hood, the kids in the hood, and the household, and growing up in Fairbanks and dinner time. You know, people knew in our neighborhood 5:15 at our house, and every Sunday and Wednesday, my mom was cooking a pasta. And a few other kids would
just kind of show up.
And you know, no one was ever turned away from the table. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just familia. It was a neighborhood family. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, it's just, so that's always been an influence in me. And bringing everyone through an Italian month through my eyes, what can you make that you're going to enjoy that's not a great, long, you know, one-day, mm-hmm. two-hour event that you can't enjoy your guests with? Because this was 15 minutes of prep, 40 minutes of cooking, so I just did all the dishes.
Right.
You know, okay, waiting, okay. And then 5 minutes of gathering it all and bringing it over to the studio here. So this type of meal, there's plenty of room if you have guests over to meet with them, to enjoy them, to show them what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say the yellow zucchini or squash is really good. It's really nice with the chicken sitting on top of it. But you could just pick any vegetable that you had, pretty much saute it or steam it or something, and just plunk the chicken on there, and it would just be excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's an interesting point about, you know, food and family and cooking and the connection to all of it, which is you know, makes the food taste even better.
Yeah.
Well, and there's only one thing that could improve on this or add to it and complement it would be if there was a nice, like, a tiramisu or something.
You know, Chuck Lemke, I heartily, wholeheartedly agree with you. And let's just throw her under the bus. Let's just do it.
Yeah,
and Nadine Winters, why do we not have a tiramisu you've been promising me all month long?
Oh,
all month.
Here we go.
The finish was a tiramisu for the Italian month.
Wow, but he had to do that.
What was that bump bump? I thought it was just one of the roads.
Nadine, explain what tiramisu is, please, because you make the incredible one.
I make this too. So I make, well, the traditional Italian tiramisu is with chocolate and coffee and ladyfingers and mascarpone. And, but I have this kind of derivation of it that's pumpkin and caramel tiramisu. It's kind of just specifically for the holidays. So it's really great around Thanksgiving. And it's just, and it's, so instead of coffee and chocolate, it's pumpkin and caramel. And then it has that lovely mascarpone and whipping cream topping. And it's excellent. I just want to say, in my defense, there are supply chain
issues. There is no defense.
There are supply chain issues here, people. Really? Is that where we're going? Is that where we're going?
Well, we'll just have to take your word for it. How big it is, I guess.
You cannot find a ladyfinger.
Supply chain issues for tiramisu. Okay.
No, you need ladyfingers. And I'm not Martha Stewart, so I don't make my ladyfingers from scratch. I purchase them. But obviously, key part of tiramisu, and everyone is out. There's only two stores in town that carry it, and they're both out. And
it took me a week just to find green onions this week to make my Hungarian mushroom soup. I'm sitting there with all the stuff, and I'm still. Yes. Do they have it in yet? I'm gonna go. Okay, I'm there today.
They got yellow onions.
There was a little bit of green onion in your. In your sautéed.
There was
onions.
Days you couldn't get a yellow onion.
Yeah.
But I will say that the.
They came in last night, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
The tiramisu will, you know, will appear. It just won't be in the appropriate themed month, but it's coming.
Nadine.
Yes.
You're forgiven.
Okay.
But it's not forgotten.
Of course. Okay.
As my mom would say, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
You're forgiven, but you will pay penance for this.
In the cooking world, let's just say we'll put it on the back burner.
Yes. There you go. Yeah. I was well intentioned. Seriously.
You know, and it's also interesting how Italian cooking. You know, my grandparents immigrated from Italy in about 1912, right in there, 1913. And they took what was in America and started incorporating into their own style of cooking. So you'll see all these cookbooks that will say, you know, a specific style of Boston Italian or Philadelphia or New York or San Francisco. You know, you know, and then you take a look at Italy and all the regions and how they
each
are segmented
one
out.
Own, yeah.
And it's just the next step. It comes over here. We have more meat or more beef in America than you do in Italy. There it's chicken, it's seafood, it's pork, not much beef. So, you know, when you have the Aegean Sea on one side and the Mediterranean on the other,
You're going to be eating a lot of seafood.
Yes, I will say that one time I did go to Italy, and I, of course, ate my way through the country, but there's a lot of interesting historic facts as well, but I had tiramisu every single night just because
you're tempting.
Here we go with the tiramisu.
Putting us in purgatory.
But to your point, it was like every single place you went, it was different. Everyone has put their own particular flair, and then, you know, going from region to region, even more differences. But it's, all excellent, I would add.
Mm. And that's one of those things, once again, you know, that pump bump that we heard where she threw her under the bus. That's true, because really this is about love, like we've talked about with risotto. Risotto is love.
Yeah.
The risotto, you just don't put it there, walk away, and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
You stay there and you attend to it. And so if somebody really cares, if they're really strong, if they're really attentive to their family and that, there's no excuses. There's no supply line considerations.
Wow. Please, no. I think he's turning the
Again,
knife.
Forgiven,
I think he's
but not forgotten.
The knife.
You know, I'd say that's tough love. He loves you, and boy, he's tough.
Well, no, but no. One of the things is you identify the fact that you ate in a lot of different places in Italy. Each region had its own variation.
Yeah,
that's
flair
right.
Or whatever.
And,
yeah.
And this is a good thing. It becomes Nadine's. Right. You know, dish, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but like I tell when I'm working with students in that, if you're making a Caesar salad. Make it with anchovies. Make it with everything else. That's a Caesar salad. If we wanted a Nadine Caesar salad, mm-hmm. fine. Make it. Add. That's what people do. Their mm-hmm. own themes and variations of things. And some of it is predicated on a plan. Mm-hmm. So that's where you do meaning by intent. You mm-hmm. also do it by content, and that's where you thought you had something, and you didn't. It's like, okay, what can I substitute right. on the fly? And that's where, like your mother with her recipes, all right, you can substitute this and do that. So that's by content. And then the third way is by oops, where you either...
I've made great mistakes, and I've also had to order pizza.
Where you added something that you didn't anticipate, or you didn't have something that you wanted or should be in there. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we talk about things like mise en place, which is just a French term, and it means everything in its place.
Yeah.
And so you go through and you measure out, you do all the things. The only way they can do on television or even in classes and that, do one of these meals that takes a lot of different involvement is they have everything laid out beforehand. Their prep time is done. So now they do this, and they do that, and they do that, and they get everything in there. It's not a matter of they get to the end and it's like, and I'll have a student, weren't you supposed to put something like that? And I said, well, no, this is a theme and variation.
But
it would be boring if every Caesar salad was made the same. It would be boring if every pasta dish and every red sauce were the same. And through time and through families and through experimenting and through regions, everything morphs and changes. So it all becomes exciting. Every plate becomes exciting. It would be very mundane if they were all the same and we all went out of the same cookbook. And the fact that human ingenuity, whether it's through circumstance or mistakes, you come across, you look at some of the greatest inventions in history where they were created the same way as a good plate of food.
Exactly. You know, you're exactly right in regards to the same, the same, the same. And when I was putting together today's dish, I thought, you know, I make a wonderful, incredible scratch Caesar salad dressing. And I thought, no, mm-hmm. go this other one. That was a takeoff from what my mom did.
Right.
With the red wine vinegar, and then share that with Alaska, mm-hmm. with the listeners, because they've probably never seen this one before. Share the lemon vinaigrette that has very common Italian ingredients in it.
Right. Now, remember, if you want to get these recipes, we don't really post. We've always talked about it, about actually posting the recipes and getting a separate tab or a separate page on the website for that. And we're working on that, and that's down the line. But remember, if you go back and listen on the archive, and you can follow the recipe, because David gives the recipe during the program step by step, and you can pause it, get what you need, and go on. So if you want to make the dish, if you want to make this dish, pull it up on the archive page. Usually we have it the week prior, or the week after, rather. So, and then you can go back and be able to listen to it and follow it and make those recipes.
Now, let's go back to Nadine. Would you recommend pulling up the audio archives of the risotto?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Right?
That was spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. I am pulling that one up, yeah.
Okay. That came up somewhere in recent conversation, and I actually cited that as a very, very good dish.
Right, and it can be done just like that. You can follow it online on the archive, pull it up on a laptop there, and tell Alexa to pull it up, whatever you want to do, because it's right there. And you can pause it where you need to and carry on and create that dish all on your own, mm-hmm. or this one.
Chuck, final word?
Well, and the fact of the matter with any of these things is how many cookbooks are out there? And every one is a transgression, a theme and variation on every other one. When Escoffier, back in his time, was trying to put all this stuff together so there was some identification and some consistency to things, and that everybody was doing something different. So, I mean, you can be, Ada Garten, or if Martha Stewart, whoever you want, I would personally go to Jacques Pepin.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, he's fantastic. But everybody makes their own little theme. So,
to close out here, I want to thank Nadine, Chuck, and Glenner for paying me the ultimate compliment, Take a look at your plates.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're all empty.
There was a lot of food there, too.
Fairbanks, I hope you enjoyed the show, because I certainly did, and I will see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Gavora's Fine Wine and Spirits, Bobby's Downtown, Hoodoo Brewery, and Quality Food Sales.